I like to describe that no matter what you've done, God's not paying you back for anything. You're his children. Let's pray together. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together right now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. With somebody, I'm going to silence my phone. Please don't let me leave here and get to Scranton and have to come back and get it. Somebody tell me, get your phone, bro. Hallelujah. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I want to describe the goodness of God to you. I think I asked both of my daughters and I asked my wife here earlier today. Let's go to Psalm 37, verse 25 in the King James translation of the Bible. Psalm 37, verse 25, and I just want to put good things into you tonight to set some things aright that you might understand. The word says there, I have been young, and now I'm old, but yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Now, I was 19 when Jesus came into my heart. I'm going to be 74 this year. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I would be a liar if I said that I did. And I'm going to tell you something about the Lord. The devil, people don't know what they're talking about. Religion would say, you're getting paid back for something you did. You know, I don't know him that way. That is a vile, perverted way to know God the Father, your Father. See, he's your Father. He's my Father. I have never seen him wrong one of his kids. You know, they say I was hard on my kids. I'll tell you what, I tried to make them mind as best I could. But I'll tell you something I never did. I never said, you know what, I'm not feeding you tonight. I asked. Did I ever do that, Casey? Millie, did I ever do that? You know, why? Because them's my kids, see? They're my children. You know what? I have never denied them medical attention. I have never wished or burned them with cigarettes or tried to put some sickness on them to teach them a lesson. And yet, the world and religion and Satan try to make us feel like that's what's happening to us. And I want you to know that's not true. If you would put up Jeremiah 29:11, fellas, in the NLT version of the Bible, I just want you to know who you are. And you know what? And neither, I'll bet you nobody in this room ever told their kids, well, I'm not feeding you tonight just to teach you a good lesson. Anybody ever do that? Nope. Because that's not what we do. We take care of our children. If you, being evil, this is what the Lord said, know how to give good things to your children. That word evil there means natural, and you were born into sin. How much more your heavenly Father knows how to give good things to you? And I have seen the devil cause people to die young, to be sick for years and years and years because somebody told them or the devil told them or they told themselves. He's trying to get even with you. He's paying you back. And you know, that's just not the way God works. Does God get his children's attention? Yeah, he sure does. He sure has got my attention. He'll chastise every child that he loves. The Bible says in John 15, he chastises us, prunes us by his word. Okay? And I'll tell you what, God doesn't have to kill you. He'll just make you think he's going to kill you. He knows how to get my attention, and he doesn't lay sickness on it to do it. And as you can see, if I stand sideways, I don't miss no meals. Don't laugh at me, neither do you, most of you. Listen, God loves you. God loves you. And we have got to get out. It's high time. You know what? God wants to bring a visitation to Logan County, a visitation of the presence of God. And we've got to know that taste of the Lord and see that he's good. He's not mean and vindictive. He's not trying to look, just wait for you to make a mistake so he can beat you over the head. That's just not true. Jeremiah 29:11 in the NLT says this, "For I know the plans I have for you." Now, this, would you please take this personal, everybody? Because right in this small handful of people, people are going through every kind of thing right here, every kind of hurting. And you know what? I've come here to set you free. So is my daughter and everybody else we let stand behind that pulpit. That's the only kind of people. And I want you to know, all your friends that's in church, somewhere, we love that church, whatever church it is. There's born-again people in every church. Every church. And we don't have it all. We're just part of a big family, the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. There are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. There are people right in this room that need a healing. He wants to give it to you. I never denied my children anything like that. We walked by faith. But when they had to go to the doctor, we took them to the doctor. I remember one time I was at a counseling session, and you rode that bike, you were riding that bike down that hill. Man, and you crashed somewhere at the bottom there, and you wanted dad, and mom got me. And if I'm not mistaken, Millie, didn't we have to take her to the doctor? Yeah. And like she said, we didn't always have insurance. You know why? Because this is what I thought. If I'm going to be the head of this church, I'm not going to make excuses why I can't pay my tithes, because that was my number one first consideration that I owe before we ate or anything else. And you know what? Like I said, we always ate good. My kids had the best Christmas with the tree with stuff up to here. It was almost embarrassing how much stuff they got. What was it? Just junk. Everybody that loved them brought them something. They had a vacation every year, okay? God was good to us. God wants to be good to you, but you have to get past what you did wrong, because God already has. If you've confessed it, God already has, and you're bringing up stuff you don't know what you're talking about. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. And I've been young. And now I'm older. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I have never seen their children begging for bread. God always blessed us. I want everybody in this room blessed. You know why? It'd be a good start. If we could all get it here, Mary, we could all spread it. I want you to get the right gospel. I want you to get the right truth in your heart. I want you to know God's not mad at you. That's a lie from hell. That's not true. God's not mad. God loves you. If we, being natural, can naturally do great things for our kids, how much more the Creator God, 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that he should call us his children." We're his children, for God's sake. We're the apple of his eye. Don't mess with his children. You're his children. The word says, "Touch not my anointed." You know what? Every child of God is anointed. Every Christian's anointed. And you know how you stay in that Christian mode? Number one, you change your diet. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anybody's in Christ, put 2 Corinthians 5:17 up there, please, in the NLT. I want them to see it for themselves. There's something like it. Turn pages, do something. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. You're not the same person. You're a different person. If you're born again, you require different food. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And in this word you shall meditate day and night. And when you do, you will make your way prosperous. First of all, you eat a different food. You eat the word. There's over 7,500 promises for everybody in here. And they all pertain to everyone. Why? Because you're his child. He wouldn't deny you anything. He will not deny you healing. I'm telling you what I know. Jesus' name. He will not deny you healing. Amen. Now, the devil might, let me tell you something. The devil talks us and just puts condemnation on us, and it's not true. Yep. You know what? You got to be audacious enough with God to let him be your dad. It wasn't hard for me. He's the only dad I've ever had. The only one. I won't go into the details on that, but the old life is gone. I want you to know that. And the new life has begun. You know what that word begun means? Okay. It means that old things pass away and all things begin to become new. Cleansing and making you a child of the King is progressive throughout your lifetime. Each and every one of you. He loves you. He takes interest in you. He wants to know how he can make you happy. And he wants to let you know how you can make him happy. And he's been telling me for a couple of weeks, said, Angelo, my people right there at Paris Christian Center, there's too many of them. He said, I want you to set them free, son. I want you to tell them how much I love them. I want you to tell them I don't love like some kind of a weirdo and hurt my kids and put things on them. If something's on you, I'll tell you what, it's come through the curse somehow. The curse that comes from Satan, it did not come from God. If you got cancer, you did not get that from God. You got that from the devil. Now, I'm not going to beat you over the head. That's not my purpose. My purpose, if you don't have enough finances, if you've been unlucky in love, or so many things that can be wrong, if you've got just terrible things that's happened to you, but the new you, your new life has begun. How many of you in here, you're sure you're born again? Okay, amen. I'm talking to you then. You're the ones I'm talking to. And let me share this with you. The second way that you know that you're born again is you're not led by your five senses and what you hear on Facebook and what somebody said about somebody. No, what you're led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14. How hard would it be to put Romans 8:14 up there? King James language. This is what it says. For as many of you, Romans 8:14. Turn in your Bibles. It's good for us. Romans 8:14, King James translation. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. That's the NLT. Could you put the King James up there, please? I love what it says in the King James. The Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Now, if you're not seeking the Lord, on how, that's what you've got. You're a new person. You've got to learn the Spirit. I'm not going to leave you alone, Jesus said. I'm going, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to leave you the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one called aside to lead you the right way. He'll lead you into all truth. He'll lead you away from every disaster. You know, it took me a long time to realize this here. When I saw good people die, people, some of them was given in the church, a philanthropist given here and there, upside down and everything. How in the world could they die? Church, please believe me. You can be at the wrong place at the wrong time. You can't afford the luxury of not knowing where you're supposed to be. Yesterday, I had three or four things I was going to do. And I prayed, said, God, make that come forth. See, not my plan, not my will, but your will be done. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. Everybody that's born again, say with me right now, Father God, into your hands, I commit my spirit. I'm not asking you to bless my plans. I'm asking you to show me your plans. Help me, God, to know what I'm supposed to be doing. Help me, God, to know how I can please you. Help me, God, show me how I can bring you joy. I lost more and more people each time, but I mean that stuff. That's how I pray. That's how I pray. That's what I believe. And I've probably done more terrible things than anybody in this room. Can I tell you something? I ain't guilty about any of them. Because if that old rugged cross, if it doesn't work, what are we doing here? Let's go party hardy and do something mean and rough somebody up and rob a few liquor stores along the way. But I'm going to tell you something. It's all true. Every bit of it is true. And God is good. I dare you to taste of the Lord and see that He's good. He's good every day. He doesn't wake up fickle. He doesn't wake up moody. I was the best kind of dad that I could be. Was I perfect? Heck no, man. When the Word said to me, and you being evil or being natural, if you know how to give, you know what? I'd chew them girls out. I'd feel bad about it. And I'd take them to the mall in Russellville. This one right here. She was a little kid. She couldn't even talk yet. We'd go by a place where there was a sale going on. I learned what to do with girls. I had four of them. I still got four of them. You take them to the mall. You give mom the credit card, the checkbook, whatever. Make sure they all got their money. And I just stay in there and just say, oh, God, I'm just glad to have a... Lord, you know I can't be in there looking at all them dresses. All that stuff. I wanted my kids to have all the best that there was. And my God, your God, our Father, He wants you to have the best. He doesn't want you to die young. He doesn't want you to live depressed and broken. That's the devil that wants that. It's the devil, and you got to wake up every day, and you got to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And when he comes to your door, say, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Give me your email address, because devil, can I tell you something? I ain't buying any of your stuff because it's all wrong. My Bible says it's wrong. I have 7,500 promises of healing, prosperity, the right relationships, being at the right place at the right time. I've got 7,500. I say, devil, you're a defeated liar. And now that you've upset me, I just want you to know you're the only one in all creation that by name, you're going to the lake of fire. Everybody else that's going, they don't know what's in. You know what? And what I used to do, when I started out as a kid, a newborn, I said, see all these people on this street? I'm going to tell each one of them about Jesus. Come on. I'm going to show you. And that's what I would do. I never met a stranger. I met Wes at Little Piney across the river there. Me and Larry did. Praying for his aunt, 75 years old. Pneumonia, all hooked up to a ventilator and stuff. I said, Wes, what could I pray? I just met him. I said, are you a person of faith? He said, well, yeah, I sure am. I said, what could we pray about? He says, well, and I said, just speak to me in generalities. I don't want to get into your business. I just want a direction, guidance, finances, family, sickness. Just, because see, if I need to know anything else, the Holy Spirit will show it to me. He said, you know what? He shocked me. He said, well, I got an aunt. She's 75 years old. She's on one of them ventilators. He says, it's not looking good for her. I said, do you believe in miracles? He said, I do. I said, Wes, I have medicine. I'm on medicine. And Wes, I have a doctor. I have a very good doctor. But when all else fails, glory. Dr. Tony Mann in 2020 said, told your mother, he's about dead when you brought him here. He'd have died if you wouldn't have brought him that night. I never felt like I was going to die. I felt just fine. I woke up and I said, well, I had these two holes in my head. He said, that was like a drinking fountain. He told my wife, when we drilled into his head, whew, blood went everywhere. Well, I said, I'm ready to go. Oh, you're going to be here for a long time. 3 days later, I was gone. They couldn't keep me there. I outwalked the therapist. He said, well, if you can just walk for a minute with the therapist. I said, yeah. I walked until he said, please, would it be okay? Could we just sit down and talk for a while? I said, if you want to. I said, I feel good. I'm leaving here. They transferred me over to a halfway house. What was a halfway house? Listen, Becky, you'll really be laughing when I tell you the rest of it. A halfway house is when you're halfway between the hospital and home. They didn't say how long I was going to be there. And you know what? I don't know what happened. Casey, and you know what? Casey just happened to come. And you came with Casey that night. And they said, well, sign here, you're leaving. I said, you know what I said? Well, of course I am. I told you I was. I walked out of there. I ain't been there since. How do you feel? Like a million? For my age? I feel like a million. I feel good. Cancer will not come on my body. Heart disease will not come on my body. If it tries to come near me, it will die before it can get near me. And the same with you. And if you want me to pray for you, and many people want private prayers for me, I will. And when I pray, I'm going to mean business. We're all going to pray tonight. We're going to take communion like we always do. You're going to take it like you never took it before. You're going to take it more of that junk is coming off of you than ever came off of you before. You are not some whipped pup. You are a child of the Most High God, creator of heaven and earth. And you're going to know it. God loves you. God cares about you. Let's try. You know, as a parent, you would never refuse to give your child food, medical attention, finances for basic needs, just whatever. And most of y'all, I'm saying, I put a reverse psychology on the whole school system, but most of not my little Johnny. No, he did not do that. And if you're not careful, we're going somewhere else. Well, I just wanted them to see things my way. I said, yeah, that sounds like my kid. Nobody's ever told them that before. I said, and you do what you're going to do here. I'll do what I got to do when I get him home. I said, it won't happen no more. I remember little Miss Brewster, dear God in heaven. I see her now. She's part of the Scranton food giveaway. When I look at my lip, I turned to that little kid, the cutest little button you've ever seen in your life. I said, when I get you home, you're going to get the real thing. I wanted her to hear that. She was going like this. Did she ever accuse you of anything anymore? Some of y'all's dumb. I'm sorry. You need me to be your life coach. I'll show you how to get around them teachers, them doctors, and everything else. Stop telling people my kid would never do that. I could name some stories, but I'd have to name names, and they're not here, and it just makes me laugh. They would never do that. Right, Mel? You were one of them. You were one of them. Said, nope, they wouldn't. Remember? My baby didn't do that. I sat all of her little babies on the floor. I said, let's just all sit here for a minute. And I said, I want everybody here to know that the Spirit of Truth is here right now. And you know what? Somehow they believe me. I have a believable rapport against the devil. The Spirit of Truth is here. And somebody's going to tell me the truth because I ain't heard it yet. This one. The next one. We got to Melissa. Oh, God, Dad! We did it! All of us did it! We're all guilty! Poor Millie. She turns red good. And when that happened, and they all got freaked out, they were looking for a hole. They were looking for some way to get out of the house. But you know what? I love my children dearly. I'd do anything for them. Give anything for them. So would you. You're the same way. And if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, hey, listen to me. How much more will our Heavenly Father give us healing, finances, direction, relationships, whatever we need? Do you believe that? I want you to believe that, because everything else is a total fabrication of the devil. Then the devil in me. We both agree. The devil and me, we both agree. The devil and me, we both agree. I hate him and he hates me. I wake up every morning. I know he hates me. I listened to an old-timey Pentecostal holiness preacher praying one time. I was in a holiness church, Brother Autry's church. And this old elder up in there, he started praying and rocking and talking. He said, devil, we hate you. He said, from the back of this church to the front, including me, we all hate you. And we come against you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think there was any sinners in there. If they were, they'd have left at that point. He meant it. And you know what God said? He said, you see that, son? When you tell the devil you hate him, you make him believe it. You make him pay. You make him pay. The word, do a study on the strong man. When he tries to dematerialize you and you find him and bind him up, he owes you. Make him pay. Amen? All right. I want to switch over to communion, talking about communion. I want to say some precious things. Fellas of the sound booth, can you give me John chapter 6, verses 48 through 58 in the King James Bible? King James, John chapter 6, verse 48 through 58. We're going to go in there right now. Okay. And these are the words of Jesus, your Savior and mine. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. For the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the whole world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you eat, listen to me, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Last place tonight, fellas, if you'd please give me Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20 in the King James translation of the Bible. Let me tell you where we're at. We're at the Last Supper. Okay, where's my girls? Okay, all right. Casey, you come up here with them. Bella, you come up here with them. Come on, girls. Come on up here with me. Bring your Bibles, too. I want you to see this. Come on, Casey. Come on, Bella. Any of you other kids in here? Let me tell you something. These kids are different here. These kids are different. These kids are the best kids These are the best children, all of them. These are the best kids in our community. They are. And yours that ain't here, they're part of that. They're part of them best kids. And he took bread. This is the Last Supper. And after he gave thanks, he broke that bread and he gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. I'm about to give you Jesus' body. It was given for you. We're about to do that together. This do in remembrance of me." That's why we do it, because he said to do it. If you took communion every day, all it would do is help you that much more. I know ministers that did, and men of God that did. You don't have to just take it here, okay? Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." That's what he meant in John chapter 6 when he said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, there's no life in you." I kind of think that means communion is important. No wonder you get a tingle every time you come in here on a Wednesday night. I get the biggest tingle of them. I try to just spread it around everywhere I go. Could we do something? I love you so much. I'm not going to withhold the truth from you. I'm not going to try to lay some guilt trip on you. What you need to be is set free. I've come here. My daughter's come here. Everybody that stands behind that pulpit, everybody that gets up on that stage, all these kids, these young people, we're here to set you free. We're here that the Holy Spirit would work through us and set you free and help you, because you're the best, the best, the best. All of you. This is what I want you to do. All you have to do, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is to take communion right, is this. Paul told the Corinthians, if you would judge yourself, now hear me, if you would just judge yourself and stop making excuses, if you would just judge yourself, then God wouldn't have to judge you. But God will judge you if he has to, so that you won't be lost on the day of judgment. Could we please make an altar, come to the altar, however y'all want to do it, everybody, and examine your heart. If there's something that's in your heart that shouldn't be there, just confess it to the Lord. That's all a father wants. He doesn't want 39 lashes. He wants your heart.